In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on November 24th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow For Whom the Cowbell Tolls writer Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm splendid.
Yeah.
I am splendid, and I also feel a bitter hatred in myself as well.
Those two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah, but of course the hatred is not for myself, but it is for another university in the state of Mississippi. But we'll get to that.
The one in northern Mississippi?
Yes, the one in northern Mississippi. As Jackie Sherrill liked to call them, they're Mississippi.
Yeah.
I don't know why Ole Miss fans got angry with Sherrill for calling them Mississippi, because that's what they are. They're the University of Mississippi.
The University of Mississippi, yeah.
I know. I mean, what does the University of Alabama call themselves? University of Arizona, University of Florida, University of Georgia, University of Kentucky, University of Tennessee, University of Texas, University of Oklahoma, University of Missouri. I could go on. Anyways, yeah. Mississippi State beat Arkansas over the weekend. Is that an understatement?
Yes, that was a game. That was a game.
The final score was 51-50.
And this is not a basketball game. The basketball game from the Rick Ray era.
And a very low scoring basketball. It's not. No, you're right. It was a football.
I mean, from the Rick Ray era, this would have been perfect.
What was the final score to the? What was the final score to the Arkansas-Mississippi State game last year in the hump? I'm pulling that up because it was both in the 50s. They were both in the 50s.
I know.
Never mind, I'm wrong.
Bob Carskadden tweeted out that the last time they played or whatever, there was 102 total points scored.
Well, yeah, this was 101 total points scored.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fun. We're going to talk about SEC picks. Hey, Ethan, I have a 2-game lead.
It'll be gone. 5-bowl season.
2-game lead.
We have to pick every bowl game. All of them.
Oh, that'll take up a show. And we're going to talk about Mississippi State's trip to Puerto Rico. It wasn't pleasant.
It had some ups.
Other than the Missouri State game, what ups were there?
Gavin Ware's playing well.
That's great. Other than that?
Maybe we get Malik Newman for 2 years now instead of just one. That would be an up.
But it's not, because it's not going to happen. No.
But, I mean, imagine him with that class coming in next year.
No, it's not, no.
That team would be phenomenal.
Yeah, it would. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
I didn't say whatever.
Just be quiet.
You be quiet.
Okay, you run the show. Do it.
So we're going to talk about the Arkansas game, 51-50. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I thought I wasn't allowed to speak.
You told me to run the show.
But you told me not to speak, so I thought I was just going to sit back in this frigid cold room and just look at my phone and Twitter.
You know, it's some people are about this game. They're saying that, oh, the defense, blah, 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 the defense, blah, blah, blah. The defenses on both sides actually made opportunistic plays most of the time. They played fairly well, particularly Mississippi State's defense on first and second down played pretty well throughout the night. It was third down that really bit them. And say as much as you want about Manny Diaz. The players in most of those cases were in position to make plays, especially the front seven. But Brandon Allen, he played the best game of his career. And may, I didn't think it was possible to top his Ole Miss performance.
May I speak?
No, because I'm not done yet. So when you have a guy throw for 406 yards and 7 touchdowns, you know, he's just been on a tear recently. He's thrown 13 touchdowns against the state of Mississippi in the past 2 weeks. Past 3 weeks? I don't know. But the point is, you know, 13 touchdowns against the state of Mississippi. I don't know what we did to anger him. I don't know what we did to piss him off, but he is, he's playing insane right now. And, you know, that for people saying, oh, the defense played horribly, blah, blah, blah. And you look at Alex Collins' stats, 19 carries, 53 yards, no touchdowns. It's about time we shut down a good running back, you know? You can speak now, by the way.
Hi. So, okay. Yeah, this game. You want me to tell you what the first comment on the Mississippi State-Arkansas game recap of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls on Facebook was? You want me to tell you what it read? What it said?
No. Okay, go for it.
Fire Manny Diaz.
People are dumb.
I mean, we just beat Arkansas by a point. This is an... I mean, we overcame Novembert. We have overcome November. This is the most difficult time of the year to play in for any team in the country. Playing against Arkansas in the middle of November, and you decide to say, fire Manny Diaz. Shame on whoever said that.
You know, there is a school in Mississippi that has yet to overcome November.
Yeah.
2 years in a row. They've fallen victim to it.
Go to hell, Ole Miss.
So,
there will be a lot of those thrown out, I'm sure, by both you and I over these next two episodes, particularly Thursday.
But where we have Jackie Sherrill coming on?
Yes. I was going to save it to the end of the show, but whatever.
It's too late. We have Jackie Sherrill coming on. Yay!
I'm surprised you're actually saying yay about Jackie Sherrill coming on the show, knowing that it's you.
I mean, it's... I don't hate the man. I just don't think he's the best Mississippi State coach ever. And I'm adamant
that. And he coached at Texas A&M, too.
But he left them, so that's all that matters there.
Yeah.
I mean, people at Alabama don't look at Bear Bryant that way. He coached at A&M. Granted, Jackie Sherrill is not Bear Bryant, and Bear Bryant is on another level. And
but a lot of Alabama fans don't hate Texas A&M, but you do.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, I know, my sister's a Bama fan. She hates them just as much as I do.
Was your sister alive when Bear Bryant was the head coach at Alabama?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, I wanna tell you this.
Yeah.
That we're both going to go over our tweets pretty soon. Because we both had good... Because I think we both had good ones. I certainly think that Ethan had some good ones. Because I don't even... at some point, I just didn't... late in the fourth quarter, I just sort of lost all train of thought. And I had no idea what the heck I was sending. Or I couldn't comprehend anything. This game just had my mind completely in out of whack.
My best tweets came in the third quarter, where Mississippi State had just fallen into this abyss on offense.
All I tweeted to during the third quarter were just GIFs of people throwing things.
Yeah.
Including my favorite GIF ever of the dude throwing his lawnmower into a forest.
And, yeah, in the second or third quarter... I think it was at the beginning of the third, I tweeted at you saying that it was okay to panic, because you're always panicking.
Yes, I panicked after Dak's fumble. Or actually, no, I panicked after the Brandon Holloway fumble on the kickoff to start. That's when I panicked. I'll tell you what that vividly reminded me of. the 2014 LSU game when they had the scoop and score on the first play out of the second half. What that reminded me of. And both game had both games had similar results. So, hey.
Yeah, I tweeted a lot of memes after one of Arkansas's touchdowns. I tweeted my favorite line ever that I'm going to use forever now. Hold your pants together, people.
Okay.
Which I don't know where that came from. I tweeted doomed a lot.
Yes, that's like your favorite word.
A lot more memes. An old Hank Williams song.
Yeah, you tweeted also, you tweeted a lot.
David Allen Coe.
You tweeted a lot of songs.
George Strait.
Let's see what I tweeted.
A lot of lyrics.
Let's see.
You tweeted some great, great GIFs.
Thank you. So I'm gonna go before the GIFs. Let's go to the beginning of the game here. I was a bit happy. I was quite happy. I just tweeted a bunch of capital letters. Just the Fred Ross catch was probably the.
Oh my gosh.
That number one on SportsCenter, by the way. That I tweeted. These were my string of tweets. I tweeted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things after that catch in about a 1 minute span. Holy crap! That catch. Touchdown! Woo, buddy! This is wonderful. I'm a fan of what is happening. I would loke to confess my love for Fred Ross. I misspelled like, but I really don't care. And then I tweeted some things about Chris Jones, and then it was halftime. And then the fumble happened, and I tweeted, oh no. And then they scored, and I said, welp. And then Dak fumbled, and I said, I'm getting angry, you're opening something.
My brownie batter Oreos. I tried to open it as quietly as possible, but there's just no way to open
it. You failed miserably. Okay, are you done?
I'm going to eat it as quietly as possible now.
And then I tweeted that picture of myself at the basketball game looking, because you've seen this picture. I don't know what happened, why I was looking like this, but I didn't look.
The gigapixel picture?
Yes. I didn't look pleased. And then I tweeted a bunch of GIFs. I tweeted a GIF of some dude throwing his TV out the window, of some dude throwing his lawnmower in a forest, of some dude flipping over a table, of Jane Lynch and Glee throwing things. And then I tweeted a GIF of a train crashing through a bridge. And then I tweeted and then I decided to tweet nothing but just lowercase letters. And I tweeted. And then my favorite tweet of the night was when we gave up the go-ahead touchdown to, I believe his name is Jeremy Sprinkle. Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremy Sprinkle. I said, we gave up a touchdown to a dude named Sprinkle. If you're going to blow a game, blow it in style, I guess.
How did he not end up on one of our all-name teams?
Jeremy Sprinkle? I don't know.
He abused us all night, too.
And then I retweeted it. And then I
had 3 touchdowns.
And then the rest of my tweets were just retweets of a fight going on in the stands and Dan Mullen dancing.
I have a friend in the band, and he was a couple rows under that brawl.
That tussle.
Yeah. He said it was something else. That group of fans, that they were just drunk the entire game. They were rowdy the entire game. So,
you know what, Ethan? I'm really not surprised.
No. The fan that the ESPN producer cut away from at the last millisecond. I can't tell you how many football games I've been at where I've been that guy.
He was about to drop the meanest F-bomb of in humanity.
Oh man, the look on his face.
Because he was just sort of sitting, he was just standing there. It's like he knew the camera was on him. He was just standing there with the cup.
It definitely looked like that.
He was just standing there with the cup in his hand, standing there looking in absolute despair. Like, well, he really stood like absolutely nothing happened for like 2 seconds. Then he like moved his head back and was going forward, as you could see the F going through the mouth, and then the camera flipped.
I just looked it up so I could watch it again.
Mm-hmm. But let's go through. I would like to talk about 4 football players, Ethan. In this
group. Then let me get a couple that I would like to talk about as well.
I'm sure both of them are in this group. But
go for it. You just start.
Number one, I would like to confess my love, even though I've kind of confessed it already, for Dakota Prescott.
Fair.
SEC Offensive Player of the Week. 508 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 38 for 50, running game, 15 carries for 50 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Secondly,
that's pretty good.
I would like to confess my love for Mr. Fred Ross. 10 receptions, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 touchdowns, and got the freaking number one play on the SportsCenter top 10.
Yeah.
Next, and let me pull up his stats. I would like to confess my love for Chris Jones.
Okay.
He didn't have the best stats. 3 tackles and 1 tackle for loss, but goodness, it seemed like he got through the line of scrimmage every single play.
He was everywhere. He was everywhere.
And finally, I would like to confess my love for Boniquez Brown.
Okay.
The man who made this conversation happen. If it weren't for Boniquez Brown, we wouldn't be happy.
Everybody says that, but I honestly believe we could have scored at the way this offense was moving in that last, 38 seconds?
Yeah, something like that.
I honestly think we could have.
But in addition to Boniquez Brown's blocked field goal, he also had 12 tackles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Ethan, if I didn't mention the 2 people that you were about to mention already, go ahead.
Brandon Holloway?
Oh, of course. I'm not surprised that you're going
to... 4 receptions, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. That's more receiving yards than Bear had on 6 fewer receptions. He also was our leading rusher for 14 carries, 63 yards, no touchdowns there, but, 4.5 yards a carry. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I can't find...
You can't find him, okay.
Gabe Miles had a pretty good game. Feels like he's finally healthy.
And that one pass... That pass to... Oh. And I want to talk about really quickly... Thank God for that 4th-and-1 conversion. Oh, you know,
I was going to mention Fred Brown as well. No, yeah. 4 receptions and a touchdown.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But that 4th-and-1 conversion, that's the most nervous I was all night.
You know, going back to the dropped pass from Dak in the end zone, if there is ever... proof that Dak shouldn't be a tight end, that's right there. So screw you, Ole Miss fans, for saying he should be a tight end. He can't catch, so shut up.
Go to hell, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But I was more nervous on that 4th-and-1 play than I was on the field goal, because I just figured that they were going to make it. It was a 28-yard chip shot straight there. No angle. Seemed like not a lot of wind. I don't know. I don't remember what that was, but it was just straight chip shot, 28-yarder. I'm like, oh, they'll make this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they... And I told you this, that... It took me about 20 seconds to actually comprehend what happened. I literally just stood in front of my TV staring at it while Mississippi State fans were celebrating. I didn't move. I was just standing there. 20 seconds later, I took 10 laps up and down the stairwell.
Yeah. I was in shock, just utter shock. We talked about it earlier when the kick went, the camera panned up and I was like, there's no ball. Where's the ball? did we block it? I had no clue what was going on.
And you really, and as I talked to you we about before the show, sorry for continuing to interrupt you.
You're good.
But Mike Patrick, I want to play that call over again if I can find it, had the most unenthusiastic, I mean, he was just, oh, the ball's tipped at the line of scrimmage. That's it. That's like all he said.
Can we get the Mississippi State fan, because I'm just watching this Vine on repeat right now. Can we get him to call a game?
Oh, I think we should get him. You mean the fighter?
No, the guy that dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, we need to get on. Yeah, we need to get him on the show.
I'm watching this Vine over and over again, and he just, like, leans back, kind of like he's about to sneeze. Mm-hmm. And just launches himself forward a bit as he's about to drop the F-bomb, just with the most intense ferocity that he could have.
Oh, yeah.
And he's holding a cup right now, like two cups. And I guarantee that it's not a beverage you'd probably want to give your kid.
No.
Unless you're from Louisiana. So.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll take shots at LSU too on the show. Why not?
And by the way, unless
they're useless.
Unless Miles has not been fired yet.
Interesting. We'll keep y'all updated on that.
Yeah.
Because it might happen while we record.
Or in the time between the shows, the time in between after our recording and. I don't know what I'm saying. The time...
Before it launches, before the show airs.
He may be fired by the time you're listening to this, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, it would be the most LSU thing ever to fire him in the middle of the night. He wakes up and sees it on his phone in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has a flip phone, too, so he'd probably get a call. Or a pager. He probably owns a pager.
He has a fax machine.
Yeah, well, every coach has a fax machine.
Leave. You ruin everything I say. That's enough.
But yeah, no, this past game was one of the most incredible games in all of college football.
It's in my
time. And it's a shame that Arkansas lost two out of conference games earlier this season.
Mm-hmm. Like Toledo and, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would like to go ahead and say that this is in my top five favorite Mississippi State games ever.
You know, it'd be interesting for Arkansas. There is potential chance that they could get seeded to play Texas Tech in a bowl game.
Yes.
And I don't know if the bowl picking people would bite for that. I don't know if the Big 12 and SEC would bite for that. But I would love to see a rematch.
Cliff Kingsbury and Brett
Bielema. I would love to see a rematch.
Cliff Kingsbury and Brett Bielema will end up fighting each other at some point. And I would bet the farm on Brett Bielema. But anyways.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Allen throw for 9 touchdowns against Texas Tech. He would tear them apart.
It'd be fun, but...
Yeah. Hey, can we send... You know, this Arkansas team is really more of a Big 12 team. Can we just trade them?
For whom?
We should work a 3-conference trade to somehow end up with Iowa.
Kirk Ferentz would be fired next year, Ethan.
Iowa, they're my favorite team.
No, it depends. Oh, would they be in the West? No, they would be traded for Arkansas, so they would be in the West. Yeah, Kirk Ferentz would be fired by next year.
If we could send Arkansas to the Big 12, the Big 12 sends who? Kansas State?
Kansas.
To Kansas. Okay. Send Kansas up to the Big 10. The Big 10 sends us Iowa.
Or if you want, that's a fair trade. Or if you want to really get weird, the Big 12 will trade Texas.
Texas is going to end up in the Pac-12.
It doesn't even make sense. Texas is not... It's not in the Pacific.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It's not on the Pacific coast.
It doesn't make sense, but that's where they all head. There's more money to be had out there really... than there is up in the Big Ten.
Yeah. So that was fun. Let's talk about SEC football, shall we? Let's talk about this a little. Let's talk about this, all of these briefly, because we have like 25 minutes left that we need to.
Some of these before.
But, yeah, I'm staring at this first game here, and I don't know. The Citadel beat. You know, Ethan, I think we know why Steve Spurrier left now.
Because he knew he was going to beat by the Citadel?
By the Citadel, yeah.
Perry Orth did not deserve what happened in this game.
The Citadel beat South Carolina 23-22. The Citadel.
Yeah, Perry Orth deserves better.
I mean, the Citadel has a "the" in front of it. You know, Ohio State makes fun. I mean, they say "the," but it's not real. This actually has a "the" in front of it. The
Citadel's quarterback. The Citadel's quarterback only threw three passes.
Yeah, he had. His
and they won.
His completion to passing, his completion to attempts ratio was the final score of the 2008 Mississippi State Auburn game. The Citadel. Yeah. I mean, let me.
This was a bad game.
The Citadel had 387 yards. I mean, that's actually not terrible, mainly because they got a lot of rushing yards. 300. They gave up 350 rushing yards to the Citadel.
That's so frustrating. So frustrating.
I don't think Sean Elliott's going to be their head coach.
No. Nobody on that coaching staff is going to return. No. That's doomed. They're doomed.
I feel. You know who I really feel sorry for? Farrow Cooper.
I feel sorry for Perry Orth.
I feel sorry for Farrow Cooper. That dude has so much talent, and he's on this team.
Well, I mean, you look at their quarterback, and he, you know, 28 for 43, 367 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. And you throw that in a loss, in a 22-23 loss? That's horrible.
It's disappointing.
But Cooper's going to be making money at the next level anyway. I don't think he's too upset.
Yeah. This next game is kind of weird, too.
Oh, this one's god-awful. I watched this.
Florida went to overtime with a 2-8 Florida Atlantic team. Treon Harris threw for 122. Treon Harris is bad. He is bad.
He's not playing like a guy that was tied with Will Greer in camp.
He is bad.
Well, maybe this is as good as, you know, Will Greer would be without the steroids.
I'm going to go through FAU's schedule and just see who they have lost to.
Conference USA teams?
Yeah, their only wins are over Florida International. They beat an airport.
And Charlotte?
And Charlotte, the 49ers. Not San Francisco. So they beat an airport and the San Francisco 49ers. Right?
Which it would not surprise me if the San Francisco 49ers actually lost to this team this year.
Yeah. I'm glad I jumped ship when Booby left.
This is not a good Florida team right now. But luckily they play a bad Florida State team.
FAU did score 20 against Miami.
Miami just needs to hire FAU's current head coach.
It only makes sense.
That's their, yeah.
Yeah.
Next game.
No. I don't even have the CBS theme. I don't even have the CBS theme ready.
Just don't use it. This game isn't worth it.
I'm already on YouTube. I'll find it. Don't worry.
I'm going to open my Oreos while you do that.
Come on. Oh my God, what was that? I got too high pitched there. What? I hope nobody heard that. That was the worst sound I've ever heard. What just came through my throat?
LSU's done.
I'm not going to play that anymore. Yeah, LSU's. Yeah. Hey, Ethan.
Yeah.
Les Miles got fired.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh. I hate you.
Love you too, buddy.
I hate everything you stand for.
Love you too, buddy.
You know, when Brandon Harris has to throw 51 times, you're not going to win. You're just not. And that's exactly what Ole Miss forced them to do. So, I mean, and it's not that Fournette had a bad game. 25 carries, 108 yards. That's decent. By normal running back standards, that's bad by Fournette standards. But
I mean, Leonard Fournette's pretty much just disappeared. I'll give you an example of this. I will give you an example of this, of just how much Leonard Fournette has disappeared. I was watching the SEC...
Was it the fumble on the goal line?
No. I was watching the SEC Network after the game, and Peter Burns...
Yeah.
Or it was Dari Noka said, and now Ole Miss, or now Les Miles, Brandon Harris, and the LSU Tigers traveling to Ole Miss. He didn't mention Leonard Fournette. He said Les Miles, Brandon Harris, and the LSU Tigers. That's how much has disappeared.
I don't know if Fournette has... Fournette's hit the same kind of slump that Dak hit last season, towards the just end of the Heisman race, he just drops off, and which is a shame because he had such a good start to the season, especially against us. But this sucks. It sucks for LSU. It sucks for Les Miles. He deserves better than that.
Les Miles has still not gotten fired.
I hate you.
I don't... Ethan, you're a good friend.
Imagine if Mississippi State had Fournette.
That'd be nice. But, you know, if ifs and
buts... We don't even need a full Fournette. We just need him, like, a third of the time.
You know, if ifs and buts are candy nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
If Les Miles gets fired, can we get Leonard Fournette?
I would trade them either Elijah Staley
or Nick Fitzgerald.
I don't know if that's how it works.
Can we? I would honestly be willing to trade either Elijah Staley or Nick Fitzgerald if we could get Leonard Fournette.
For 1 year?
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you? The offensive line is supposed to be better next year. Either Williams, Fitz, or Staley's going to be starting. You know, we don't know exactly who yet. Everybody thinks it's going to be Fitz. You look at the receiving core, still going to be pretty good next year. So all we were really missing is an every down back. And unless Shumpert or whoever takes the step forward, they all have the potential to, except for Holloway, who's just a little too small for that role.
Now I'll say this. If Dan Mullen leaves for a new job, can we hire Les Miles?
The only reason LSU should fire Les Miles is if they can hire Dan Mullen or Nick Saban. Well, they have no reason to fire Les Miles.
They are. And that's because their athletic director is a nut job.
You know what? I hate this about LSU because their school is almost bankrupt and the boosters are willing to pay $15 million to fire Les Miles. Like, they could use that money elsewhere in that university.
Yeah.
But that's... Let's just move on to the next game. We're getting too off topic
here. Do we really need to talk about this? Auburn beat Idaho. That's great. They gave up 34 points to Idaho, though.
Well, Idaho scored... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Georgia went to overtime with Georgia Southern. Or, sorry, I skipped a game. Alabama.
I'm sure that was a fun game to watch.
Alabama beat Charleston Southern. Woo. Georgia went to... I want to give credit to Mr. Desmond Howard, although I really don't like him that much, but I'll give him credit. He picked Georgia Southern to beat Georgia.
Yeah. He also picked Stanford to be in the college football playoffs.
As of last week, that there was a legitimate shot at that. Yes. If they would have won the Pac-12, they would have been in. If they would have won the Pac-12 and beaten Notre Dame, they would have been in.
They're going to end the season with 3 losses, probably.
You think they'll lose to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Okay. Missouri beat Tennessee. Or, no, I'm...
No.
What?
Nope.
I'll tell you what happened there. And the game before that, it had Georgia on the right, 23-17. And now I look down at Missouri, who's on the right. I'm like, oh, Missouri. Oh, no, they didn't. No.
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 No, they did not.
This is a really weird score. The final score was 19-8.
Yeah,
Josh Dobbs had 89 passing yards.
Yeah, I'm sure Charlie Burris was excited about that game.
Yeah. Kentucky beat Charlotte. Is that anything exciting?
They walloped them.
Well, Charlotte lost...
Who is their starting quarterback?
Charlotte lost to FAU.
Who's the starting quarterback? Drew Barker.
Yeah.
Our man, Patrick Towles?
Patrick Towles?
Ellis? I don't know. He's not going to start another game, Kentucky.
Nope. And Texas A&M shut out Vanderbilt.
Well, that's disappointing.
And because of that, I have a 2-game lead. Let's talk about basketball, shall we?
Well, I'm game.
Yeah, basketball. We got mauled by Miami. Lost to a Texas Tech lost to a Texas Tech program that has not had a winning season in 6 years, and then beat Missouri State.
That's a bad loss.
Yeah, Miami's
really... That was an all right win.
Miami is really, 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 really good. Like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
They are a top 4 team in the ACC, and that is a conference that features North Carolina, Duke, and Maryland.
No, I'm not too upset about losing to Miami the way we did, honestly, when it'll turn out that Miami's probably a Sweet 16 team this year.
Yeah. And Jim Larrañaga, however you pronounce it, is not that bad of a coach.
No.
Texas Tech. You know how angry I was at that last minute of the game? I was genuinely...
Yeah, I saw your tweets.
I did not want to be around anyone. I was angry. I wrote it in my recap piece. I'm going to read what happened in that last minute of the game in my words that I typed on the computer into the screen that was shown on ForWhomTheCowbellTolls.com, a website you should check out because this is the official podcast of said website. Let me find this. Here we go. The second half was a back-and-forth battle until Mississippi State was able to regain its footing late in the game, slowly inching their way back in front to a 68-64 lead with 5 minutes and 19 seconds left. Unfortunately, Mississippi State let it slip away as the Red Raiders had a 74-72 advantage with a minute left in the contest. What followed was a series of costly mental errors for the Bulldogs. Here we go. Travis Daniels, and this is on the last minute of the game. Travis Daniels missed 2 free throws to tie it, and after a missed Texas Tech 3, the Bulldogs had possession with 25 ticks left on the clock. After swinging around the arc trying to find a shot, Malik Newman drove in the paint right under the basket, only to miss a layup with 8 seconds left. Fortunately, Gavin Ware was right there, snatching the rebound, but he followed it up with a missed layup. The Red Raiders got the rebound, and the game was over. That's not how you end the game. No.
The brightest spot from the trip to Miami was Gavin Ware.
You mean Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Crap. I had the Miami game on my mind.
I figured.
The brightest spot from the trip to Puerto Rico was Gavin Ware, who, while he was down there, put up 20 points against Miami, 15 points against Texas Tech, and 25 points against Missouri State. On the season, he's averaging 19.8 points per game. And I don't know how many rebounds. He hasn't been great at rebounding, honestly, which is a little disappointing. But he, 34 total rebounds across 5 games. What's that, 7 rebounds a game? roughly.
Yeah.
Just under.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a little frustrating to see him not be as dominant there. But he's tearing opponents apart when it comes to just the, you know, playing at the post and down low and getting points needed. He's only had 8 turnovers on the season. That's pretty good.
Mm.
So I think he's going to have a great season down the stretch. It'll be interesting to see what happens when he comes up against some of the big men like Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky's got some very talented big men.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see his performances against them. Does Auburn still have that Simeon Bowers guy?
I don't know. They got Bruce Pearl.
Because he's supposed to be really good. Well, yeah. It's still not that great.
There are coach, but, there are, you know, 2 things that happened in this tournament that I want to touch on that luckily was that they seemed to be fixed in the Missouri State game, but turnovers and fouls.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize how many times I wanted to punch a wall every time we committed a foul. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, my God. I know that Ben Howland talks about how he is. I get the two mixed up. He runs zone or man-to-man? He hates one and he loves one.
I think he hates zone.
Yeah, so sometimes that...
He'll run it if he has to, but he hates it.
When he runs man...
If I remember correctly,
yeah,
I might
it's
be
something. It's either one of those. You could be... I don't know. I don't remember which one. But he's... With these new college basketball foul rules, apparently if you run man-to-man, you're going to get a lot of fouls.
Yeah.
And we're getting a lot of fouls. In the Miami game, we committed 29 fouls. And they made 28 free throws. 28 points right there.
And what was the margin of defeat?
Let's take a look.
It was about like 30 points.
26 points.
Oh, that's frustrating.
And also turnovers. We turned it over against Miami 13 times. And do you want me to tell you how many points off turnovers they had?
A lot.
26.
Yeah. Mississippi State's right in most of these games outside of stuff like that.
And in the Texas Tech game, let me get this up here. Let me get back to that recap I was just on, because I went to this in length here.
You know, we still had 19 fouls against Missouri State.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 10 turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were pretty lucky. They only made 10... that's the second half. That's the second half. My fault. How many free throws? They made 17. Yeah, they had 17.
It helps that Missouri State is an 0-4 team.
Mm-hmm. And
that, you know, that's just a good way to get the confidence back, move on with the season. Luckily, the SEC is still a dumpster fire for at least another year.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some good coaches, but it still takes time for those systems to get in place. Still takes time for players to mesh. So we'll see what happens.
And in the Texas Tech game, we committed 20 fouls. They made 18 free throws. And we turned it over 14 times, and they had 20 points off turnovers. In the Missouri State game, we turned it over 10 times, and they only had 7. They had only 7 points off turnovers. So we were able to contain the turnovers pretty well in the Missouri State game. Fouls are still a problem, though.
We're not exactly efficient on some of our shots, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. The Texas Tech game, the number of 3-pointers we shot, we went 8 for 27 from beyond the arc in the Texas Tech game. 29.6%.
Yeah.
And we shot the ball well in that game. 27 of 61 for 44.3%, but so many threes.
See, if you're going to shoot threes, you have to do like what the Houston Rockets do.
Oh, great.
Not necessarily this season.
You mean your former favorite team?
What I'm saying is you don't shoot the mid-range jumpers. You make sure you shoot the threes for percentage purposes and point purposes, just because of the yield. There's a lot of math that goes into it that I don't necessarily understand. Daryl Morey understands it. But it's you take the three-point shots, you get good at them, or you shoot the shots down low. You drive, or just give it to Gavin Ware, which I think, you know, we're getting it to Gavin Ware anyway. But when IJ Reddy and Malik Newman against Missouri State combined for 3 of 10 from behind the arc, mm-hmm. something's got to improve. You can't just continue to do that.
Yeah.
So my point here is get better at shooting from behind the arc, or just abandon it for a little while. Just go continue to feed the ball to Gavin and let him get his points, and then just drive.
So
let your defense win games. We know the defense is pretty good. They've got potential to play, as we saw past couple years under Rick Gray's defense.
Certainly. So we don't play until Saturday, yes, the day of the Egg Bowl at noon. That's going to be a fun day.
Yep.
Basketball, then Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
Against UT Martin, so we'll talk about that on Thursday. So to wrap up the show, we got some questions.
Yay!
My friend Mr. Vanderloop, and I reminded him about this, by the way, so you can thank me, that I said that we were recording pretty early, so you better get them in soon. So we got four questions. Number one, how long after the Arkansas game did it take for you to wind down enough to actually go to sleep?
3 hours.
I didn't go to sleep till like 1.
Yeah. It's about when I went to sleep. It just, man, that was a game.
I was pretty happy. Number two. Is Dan on visor probation, or do we give him a pass for the beanie? Hey, we won. I give him a pass. I mean, we won.
See, I am a beanie fan. I enjoy wearing beanies.
I am
team beanie.
Is this going to be team beanie versus team visor here? It's gonna be like B&B show with team biscuit and team cornbread. You're gonna be team biscuit, and I'm gonna be team visor. And by the way, if it does in fact get uber cold in the Egg Bowl and it starts raining, I can't stop my visor tradition, so I'm probably gonna wear both a beanie and a visor. Because there are some times in which you have to wear a beanie.
Yeah. Who was your offensive player of the game not named Dak?
Fred Ross. And it's not close.
See, I'm gonna give it to Brandon Holloway because he had more total yards.
Fred Ross had the number one overall play on SportsCenter.
I don't care. Brandon Holloway produced more total yards for us. He was a better weapon, and he was more efficient. Especially receiving.
Meh. And finally,
when you average 25 yards a catch, that's insane.
Okay. Number four, do you plan on ringing responsibly or giving Ole Miss the bell? I will ring responsibly, but if there is a situation like the 2013 game, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control myself.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll see how it turns out. I might ring responsibly. I might not. I'm going to try to. I'm going to do my best, because every fan should do that. They should at least plan to do their best. But like you said, if it turns out to be like 2013, who knows?
So yeah, that'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
I had it more elegantly planned out earlier, but I kind of took a nap and forgot more of what it would be.
Well,
but the point is that this is Dak's last game in Davis-Wade Stadium. He is single-handedly the greatest player in Mississippi State history. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there, that he's the single greatest player. I know there's going to be a lot of people that, oh, what about, no, I don't care.
What about Jackie Parker?
Nope.
Eric Moulds?
Nope, I don't care.
Eric Moulds?
I don't care.
Kenny Lewis? Ken Hull?
Dak is the greatest.
You know, I'm just trying to annoy
He's
you.
He's the greatest in our history.
I agree with you.
I know.
I'm just trying to annoy you. Because I'm a good friend.
He, what is it, like 38 records? 38 school records? something like that. He's one of the greatest in Mississippi State history. In all of college football history, he is the single greatest in Mississippi State history. He has provided a spark plug for this program, a huge jump forward. We can potentially win 10 games this year.
Yeah.
Back-to-back seasons.
First time in school history.
His accomplishments are up there with Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin III, Cam Newton, Tim Tebow. Aaron Murray is going to be a guy that I'm going to throw out here who never won the Heisman, and Dak might not either. But their accomplishments
if he has a good game in the Egg Bowl, I'll be very ecstatic if he becomes a finalist and goes to New York. I'll be very happy, very 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 happy.
If he had a repeat performance, like if he were to throw for 500 yards against Ole Miss and totaled 7 touchdowns again, he's going to be in New York and he's going to be 2 or 3 in the voting.
Oh yeah.
But my final thoughts are just enjoy it. Just enjoy this game. Whatever the outcome is, if we get blown out, if we blow them out, stay till the end. Because this is the last time we'll see Dak on Scott Field. Just enjoy it until he, comes back eventually to coach for us. Because he's going to be a coach after his playing career ends. Hopefully after he wins, 7 Super Bowls for the Houston Texans. So.
Or the Tennessee Titans.
No.
Yes. By the way, I would like...
We need a quarterback. Y'all have a quarterback. You don't need one.
We don't have a team.
You have a quarterback?
We don't have a coach.
Unless...
We don't have a coach!
Doesn't matter. You have a quarterback. We don't have a quarterback. We've never had a quarterback. We've always had some
guy
with a limp noodle.
You actually have a 500 record.
So?
You're actually a decent football team.
No. Don't confuse... an even record for a decent football
you
team.
You are a slightly... You are a terrible team with a kinda good record.
In terms of dumpster fires, we are still a dumpster fire. We just have less feces in our fire than y'all.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. On Thursday, we're going to talk about Mississippi. Go to hell, Ole Miss. Come on, Ethan.
Let's school up and away.
Yeah, bring it in. Say it.
Go to hell, Ole Miss.
Good boy.
Hail damn state and go to hell, Ole Miss.
Good boy. We're gonna interview the freaking Kang! The Kang! Jackie Wayne Sherrill is gonna join the program on Thursday. Ethan, you know that I'm excited for this. I am very excited. To interview the freaking Kang. The Kang! That's who we're going to interview. And we're going to talk about other stuff. But I hope you'll join us because we're going to have a jam-packed Egg Bowl preview. But until then, thank you all for listening and bye-bye, everybody.